Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Downtown Greens this morning. We are going to get caught up on all kinds of things going on with Downtown Greens. Janet Deberle is here. Christy Harneman is here from Downtown Greens. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you guys here this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Ted. It's great to be back.
There are always things going on at Downtown Greens, and we just were talking because, Christy, I saw the both of you the day about a month or so ago when the seed library opened at the downtown library with the seeds, and of course I was not expecting to see Downtown Greens there, but as soon as I saw you, I thought, well, of course you two would be there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're giving out free seeds, we're totally going to horn in on your action and be like, hey, you're planting those seeds? Let us talk about okra and squash and tomatoes with you. It was really an awesome idea that the library had to do that seed library, and we were very happy to be there on the opening of it.
But it is, you know, it does. I think it's taught a lot of people things, and it's gotten seeds into the community.
I know, it's exciting.
Yeah, and it's the beginning of a partnership with the library, which we're really excited about. So we're going to be teaching classes at the downtown library throughout the summer, and then hopefully throughout the fall as well. So one of those will be learning how to save seeds. So if you get seeds from the seed library, then we'll teach you how to save those seeds and donate them back.
Interesting. That's a process. I have seen that done with Rappahannock Adult Activities, how they will save seeds. But it takes a little bit of time, but you can. It really is. If you can do that, it can be real helpful.
Very helpful, and it can save you a lot of money too.
Yeah, seeds are more. Some seeds are there. It's a lot more expensive than you would think.
Yeah. When you start out in gardening, it often is, you know, a bit of a sticker shock, you know, because you buy a lot of things, soil and seeds and things. But as you garden more and more, it gets cheaper and cheaper. So it really starts to pay off if you're growing your own food or your own cut flowers.
But boy, a partnership, Christy, with the library in Downtown Greens, that makes just so much sense. And for both sides, you'll really be able to help each other.
Right. Yeah. Education is really our core mission. And so is the library's core mission, all about educating the community. So, you know, it just really made sense to have us partner, have us go in and teach classes. That opens up a whole new audience for us to not only get our name out in the community, but also to teach those people who might not have heard about us before.
There are fewer and fewer people who have not heard of Downtown Greens, just because you have been doing some great things that we're going to touch on as we go along this morning. But first of all, I drove by Downtown Greens yesterday, and out front there's this big sign that says 2024 Conservation Steward of the Year Award. Yeah. That seems like a big deal.
That is a very big deal. And we are so grateful and honored to have been chosen by the Land Trust of Virginia as the recipients of this award. And what's really interesting about it is, you know, if you've heard about Downtown Greens, chances are you've heard about the 56 acres we just recently acquired and put under conservation easement. But this award is not for those new acres. It's actually for our downtown campus, our original campus, which is only 2.8 acres. It is under conservation easement, but the reason they chose the smaller campus was because it is located in downtown Fredericksburg, where things are so, you know, developed. A lot of people live there. It's very urban, and they say the importance of conserving spaces in those type of localities is so unique and important. So they chose our downtown campus, our smaller campus, to receive the award.
That is so interesting, because I looked at that and my thought was, oh, of course they got that because of all that they're doing with the new campus.
Yeah.
But that shows you that the programs that you have there and that you continue to do after all these years are on the right track and have really caught people's attention.
It has. And they did mention that, you know, one of the reasons that they picked it is because of the educational, the free educational programs we provide in helping the community learn. But having even that 2.8 acres under conservation easement and the 56 acres under conservation easement, that does mean that we have slightly under 1% of the city of Fredericksburg under conservation easement, just with those two pieces of land. So conserving all that land and being able to use it to educate our community and the public in general has been such an amazing thing. And then to be recognized for it was just very humbling and such an honor. So we are really grateful for the to the Land Trust of Virginia for that.
That is just terrific. That is just terrific to see that, just because over the years, and you use every inch of space for good.
Yeah.
And like you say, for education and teaching and all kinds of things.
Yeah, we try to utilize everything we have. You know, we are, of course, a nonprofit, so we do use everything we have to to try to make our mission happen. But even if we're not currently using that stretch of land for people at the moment, we are using it to, you know, help the insects, help our wildlife, you know, conserve the plants. We do what we can.
Well, and if people don't know, there's the upper garden and the lower garden. The upper garden, most of us see. You drive by and you see that when you're driving by, where you've got gardens and, you know, all kinds of things going on. But the lower garden, and especially this time of year, but at all times of year, you and I did a video back there in, was it like November or October, November?
Yeah.
Leaves were coming off the trees, and still though, there is the I know people come and have lunch or can spend some quiet time in that garden.
It's true. I mean, sometimes I like to call our lower garden like the best kept secret in Fredericksburg, because you can't see it as you drive by. It's actually located behind our building. But it is a much more lush environment than the upper garden. It's, you know, more landscape design, you know, planted flowers, less edible foods. It's turned into quite a bit of an oasis. We have sometimes we go down there and there are weddings happening that we didn't even know about. People just pop in and do a quick wedding.
Downtown Green.
I know, but it's a beautiful location.
Yeah.
And you know, there's pastors that write their sermons out there. There are people that just go out there to meditate, to just hang out. Of course, kids go down there to play. But it's a beautiful, lovely little verdant spot in the, you know, downtown Fredericksburg. That people are always welcome to go to if they can find it.
It is. If you walk up to where the building is, and you'll see a path, and you can be there and just away from everything.
Correct.
Even though there's a road that goes right by there, but it's so secluded, you hardly even know it's there.
Yeah, and it's about an acre and a half. I mean, and again, like, it is under conservation easement, so it's always going to be there. It's always going to be green. And it's open 365 days a week from sunrise to sunset. So if you can find our building, the gray house with the big purple flowers on it, and just walk behind it, you will see the lower garden. And it's really, it's kind of magical down there.
It is. Now, well, congratulations again on the award, because was that a surprise when you got the word on that?
Yes. I mean, I had no idea it was coming.
Yeah, I didn't either. Especially, I think the biggest surprise was that it was for our smaller downtown campus.
Right.
Because we had been getting a lot of news about buying the 56 acres and whatnot. But if you think about conservation easement, you're always hearing like, oh, these hundreds of acres were put under conservation easement, which is always amazing. But you never hear like, oh, this urban city has some land under conservation easement. And I think, you know, that's the thing that's just so special, is that, you know, not only did the community really support having all of this put under conservation easement, but the city as well. And, you know, just kind of recognizing the importance of needing green space when you have all of the city built up.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And just what Downtown Greens has accomplished and continues to accomplish. It's really exciting just to think about what's ahead.
Yeah,
especially with not only the new land and the new acres on Bellman Road there, but just all the new ideas that you continue to come up with.
Yeah,
the original spot.
We are really just moving right along, always, constantly. There's never any stopping. And it's really exciting. Like, we have so many classes coming up. A majority of them are free. We have gardening classes. We have nature walks.
hold that thought. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of these in a little bit more detail this morning. Downtown Greens, our focus, downtowngreens.org, the website. There's also a Facebook page that has all kinds of fun and informative information. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Downtown Greens this morning. Christy Herneman and Janet Duberly here this morning from Downtown Greens. Downtowngreens.org is the website. And before we took our break, Janet, you were starting to talk about just classes and things. There's always something going on, and Facebook does a great job of talking about. And if you are interested in some of these classes, I have noticed that they sell out. They fill up really quickly.
They do, and that's a wonderful problem to have. But yes, these classes all fill up fairly quickly. So we do recommend, if you see one that you are interested in, to go ahead and sign up for it. And a majority of them are free, which is really great. So you don't have to worry about paying for a ticket or anything. But yeah, upcoming we have, you know, some nature walks on the Bellman Road campus. The nature walks are led by our garden coordinator, and we will find mushrooms, we flip logs, find salamanders, we look at the different plants.
There are a lot of things out there.
There are a lot of things out there.
You and I and some bird people a few weeks ago were out there, and just the number of birds you saw and just the number of it was part of a whole was it a week long or several days of where you
that was a 4-day bio blitz. And so a bio blitz is essentially where you take a tract of land and you go out for, you know, however long the bio blitz lasts, and you track every piece of nature you can find and record it. So at the time that you came by, we were actually out there with the bird people, the bird nerds, and they were tracking all the birds they could hear or see or find evidence of or find feathers of, and then recording it. So we have records now. We also found, later in the day after you had left, we found a spadefoot toad, which doesn't sound impressive, but it's actually a highly protected species and extremely rare. We did report it because they do ask that you report any sightings. And we found him under a log, just hanging out, hoping not to be found, but we got him out anyway. And it was just really exciting. That whole BioBlitz really told us a lot about what we have, like plants, mushrooms, insects, wildlife. It was amazing.
So here's what I found amazing. One of the many things, just because the number of birds was just, and we'll talk about that in a second, but we're walking along and there was an egg.
Yes.
There was just an egg laying there. And it wasn't like an egg. It wasn't like an egg that you have in your refrigerator.
No.
It was an egg.
It was an egg mystery. We have found 3 such eggs. So the size was slightly larger than a chicken egg that you would buy at the store. We found one in the middle of the trail that we usually walk on. We found one in the creek, like in the stream, and then one deeper in the woods. All of them were soft, like a reptile egg. So they were pliable. We have no idea.
Really?
And I asked the bird people. I've asked everybody that's come through, like all the naturalists, all the, you know, the bee folks who just took a tour recently, like I asked them and no one can tell. Like the best guess is that maybe there's a turkey with a calcium deficiency. We do have a lot of wild turkey on that land. And they would be kind of the same size, but they're a different color than most turkey eggs. So it really is an amazing mystery. So if anybody hears this and they're like, you know what, I think I know what that is, please reach out to us because it's driving us crazy.
Yeah, no, it was so interesting. I took a picture of it just because who walks along and finds a big egg like this? It's one thing for like a robin, and you this time of year when you've got birds in your yard. But this was just
Somebody's just leaving eggs wherever they want
to. No, you looked at it. I've watched too many Jurassic Park movies to feel really comfortable.
Ooh, dinosaurs.
I mean, you know, there were a few velociraptors on the BioBlitz. Right.
So but that was so interesting. And I discovered it's now on my phone, and I have used it in my backyard, the Merlin app.
Oh, the Merlin app is amazing. If you have even the slightest interest in knowing what bird you are looking at or hearing, the Merlin ID app, it's a free app. It has a sound recording, so you can actually just hit the recording button and it'll identify the birds that are singing. And it also has like a dichotomous key, so you can go in there and say, I saw a bird, and they'll say, well, did you see it in a tree or did you see it on the ground? What size was it? What colors were it? And it'll, where were you? It'll narrow it down to what bird you might have seen. So it makes it really easy to ID birds if you're interested in that. It's really fun.
No, it's another thing of hanging around. I have gained so much such knowledge from hanging around Downtown Greens.
Yeah,
people.
That's what we do. If you come by, we're just going to start talking. We're not going to stop until you walk away.
Well, Jen and I, you and I have done some of the most fabulous videos, and it's all you. Because I just show up, and you just say, why don't we go and talk about this? And we will talk about this and that, and it's just, there's so much around there. And we've only done... We did the last run we did over on the Bellman Road site, but everything else has been around, you know, the downtown.
Yeah, campus. Yeah, it's there's just so much to talk about and so much to learn. And of course, you know, if you talk about everything you can one month, you come back the next month and there's so much more new stuff to talk about
because things change.
Things change so quickly and everything is just so fascinating.
So I think we have gotten way off track when we were talking about classes.
That happens.
So you can rein me back in and what else is out there?
Oh yeah, so yeah, the nature walks.
Nature walks. You
can sign up for those on our website. They are free. We have a reishi mushroom workshop coming up, and it actually was supposed to take place a couple weeks ago, but it was postponed due to rain. This is one of our paid events, but when you go, each ticket covers the cost of the whole kit you need to grow the mushroom at home, and it also covers the cost of two people to attend the class. So you can get one for, you know, your best friend or your partner. You can both attend the class, get your kit. Ryan Mooney is a brilliant mycologist, and he talks about the mushrooms and how to grow them. And then you go home with your kit all ready to grow these mushrooms. We've done oyster mushrooms and lion's mane mushrooms. The one coming up is actually reishi mushroom, which is highly medicinal, very gorgeous mushroom. It actually looks like sea coral when you're growing it. It's a bright red and orange.
Yeah.
So even if you don't really want to consume it, just growing it, just it's just a really gorgeous like centerpiece for any area of your home. But aside from the reishi class, we also have some of the classes at the library. We have Designing Your Garden with Native Plants, which is on June 4th at 10 a.m. at the Fredericksburg branch. And that's actually being taught by Ann Little of Tree Fredericksburg. She's going to, you know, she's brilliant, of course. And she's going to talk about all the things you can do to attract more wildlife into your yard, more birds into your yard, just by designing it with native plants and which native plants can go where.
She and I have been doing some videos at her yard, and it is amazing what you
beautiful.
Can, what you I mean, it is, and just having certain plants, what it means as far as it'll bring in insects, and certain insects will bring in certain birds, and you really see the cycle of things.
You really do, and it's important also, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the plants bring in insects, which bring in birds. A lot of people, you know, are under the idea that, you know, they don't want insects in their yard, and sometimes they pay people to remove insects from their yard, but really, without the insects, you're not going to have any other wildlife coming to your yard. And you're not going to have good luck growing your flowers, you know, because so many insects are pollinators beyond bees, that it's really important to design your yard. If you are into that, design your yard in a way that will attract those insects, which will then attract the birds, which will then attract, you know, everything else. So
yeah, no, so you learn some of that just by some of these classes.
Yeah, it's really great. We also have summer garden maintenance. So if you are growing vegetables and you are not quite sure what you should be doing now or in the next few months, that's a class we're teaching at the Howell Branch Library on June 5th at 1:30. There's no sign up. It's absolutely free. Just come on in. And we're going to be talking about like the proper way to prune your tomato plants to produce more tomatoes and trying to avoid just having huge tomato bushes take over your garden. And also just a lot of other things you should be doing this time of year and in the next few months to really get a good vegetable garden going.
Summer garden maintenance.
Yes.
Only Downtown Greens would have a class on that. I like that word, though. I'm going to go out and do some summer garden maintenance.
Maintenance.
Today.
I mean, yeah, because
it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know, a lot of people think about gardening, you know, you plant all the plants and then, you know, after that, you just have to water. But really, you know, there's always something you can do to really boost the amount of vegetables you are getting, boost the amount of insect action you're getting, because even with vegetable gardens, insects are so important. And the more insects you bring to your vegetable garden, the more insects will eat other insects. So it actually doesn't make sense if you think about it, but having more insects actually prevents insects from eating your plants. So you don't want to get rid of insects. You want to actually just bring in more types of insects.
That actually is a very good argument for that.
So we'll be talking about things like that. And we did a spring gardening one already, and I hope to do a fall one as well. So we're taking people through the whole year doing vegetable gardening, because in Virginia you can grow vegetables almost all year round. So it's important to stay on top of that.
And I would think that gardening, having this talk about how the seasons have changed. The other day with friends of the Rappahannock, we were talking about how I used to always have to mow my lawn early April would be when I started. Mm-hmm. And now with the way we've had winters and everything, it's usually about the middle of March.
Yeah.
And so that would also affect and deal with, I probably like when the last frost would be, or, you know, as you plant gardens.
It does. We've actually been moved. There is something called a zone hardiness map that is used, you know, depending on your first frost and last frost of the year, when you should be planting your vegetables. And that we were in zone 7A, and I think just recently we've been upgraded to zone 7B, which means we're just slightly hotter than we used to be. Mm. The difference in all the seasons changing a bit is really affecting the way you grow vegetables. But luckily there's some smart people on top of that, and they make really helpful charts.
Speaking of smart people, you two have already made me smarter, because you use the word mycologist.
Yes.
And so as you were talking, I did look it up. See, but I had never heard. I mean, again, I mean, you just, you know, he's a mycologist, as if.
I know, it's 50
and I thought,
cent words.
We all talk about mycologists, and I had no idea what that was.
You know, there's an ologist for almost everything.
I know, yeah. But the fact that you knew it and how to use it in a sentence.
Yeah, I'm very proud, thank you.
Is very, very good. Jenna Deverly and Christy Herneman from Downtown Greens here this morning, downtowngreens.org. We'll talk about, as we go along here this morning, too, about how you can get involved and help out the work of Downtown Greens. Quick break. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Downtown Greens, Christy Herneman and Jenna Deverly here this morning with Downtown Greens, downtowngreens.org, the website. We have just been talking off air, and we need to bring this discussion on air. I don't know how I feel about it. Christy, we were just talking about this. No mow May.
Yeah, so the idea behind No Mow May is to let your lawn grow long, which will help the pollinators, because there will be, you know, flowers will grow up, all those weeds that you probably don't want in your lawn, but they provide nectar for pollinators. And, you know, here in Virginia, our growing season starts earlier. So you could even do like No Mow April. It just doesn't sound as nice.
It doesn't sound as, no.
But yeah, so the idea is just to not mow for the entire month of May, and then to allow your grass grow long, and then allow those pollinators to have something to feed on.
It makes sense. On a certain level, on a certain level, it makes total sense. And I can sit here and nod and say yes, but I don't know that I could do that.
I think you should try.
Isn't that interesting? I think I would just go crazy.
Maybe like 2 weeks. Try 2 weeks. Start with 2 weeks. Don't mow for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I could see that. That may be a way to kind of
maybe
ease
next
into it.
Year, right. 3 weeks, and then the next year, 4 weeks. And it's also really good if it's like hot out and you just don't want to mow, then you can justify it to yourself. Well, I shouldn't mow because of the pollinators.
Well, and as we were talking about having insects and things like that, that if you go and do that, you are going to attract certain things to your yard. And like you say, you are. But so like I say, it makes all kinds of sense.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes the lazy way to garden is the best way to garden. Like I have all these aphids on a native plant of mine, the cup plant. And I was like, oh, I should probably do something about them. But then ladybugs came and they're doing the job for me. So I don't have to worry about like taking care of insects that are kind of harming my plants.
Well, and Janet, we talked about this in the fall about leaving a lot of some of the debris in your yard.
Yeah.
Will be a help. So
yeah, that's where insects, you know, overwinter are in the hollow dead stems of some of the plants. So leaving those are, you know, keeping your insects safe and in the garden that they want to be living in, and want to raise their young in. I'm making it sound very human. and also, like Christy said, I mean, I do think that lazy gardening is often the most beneficial, because the more you meddle, the more you mess with things. So letting sometimes nature take its own course, like leaving the aphids so that the ladybugs can come in. And let me tell you, ladybugs, they're cute, but they are voracious. They eat so many insects a day, especially the baby ladybugs, that they're very useful. And those are the type of insects that are, you know, overwintering in your garden and your dead plants. So just leaving them up there and not mowing your lawn and just
and leaving the leaves in the fall. Like, if you want more fireflies, leaving leaves, you know, you don't have to have them all over your lawn. If you just even rake them up and put a nice big pile, you're going to hopefully see more fireflies.
Yeah. The leaves are a huge thing. A lot of things live in the leaves.
Interesting, because a lot of people do like, I mean, if you've got kids, fireflies are just are the greatest. They're the greatest thing. You sit outside and the kids play with the fireflies and you have peace and quiet.
Right.
So I don't know what fireflies are, but lightning bugs really enjoy living.
Well, yeah. Well, so that's interesting. There are a whole lot of things you can do and do with your lawn.
Right, and more importantly, there are so many things you cannot do that are actually really beneficial, like mow. We have faith, Ted, that you can go 2 weeks without mowing your lawn. Just don't look at it.
It's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
We, Downtown Greens, challenges you to not mow your lawn for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks.
Can you do it? Are you a mow the lawn every week?
Yeah, I am.
Person?
I am.
Oh, wow. I mean, you look very uncomfortable just thinking about it.
I am. I'm very uncomfortable thinking about it.
But think of the bugs. Won't somebody please think of the bugs?
It is a very interesting concept, but I'm just thinking now because because I'm considering mowing either today or tomorrow before it rains, and I'm thinking it could go another week, but I don't know that I can stand it not to.
Just keep all your curtains shut so you don't have to look at it.
But like you say, in the world of pollinators. This does help with between pollinators and native plants and all. Mm-hmm. This is a good idea.
Yeah, it really is a responsible thing to do if you're trying to support your local ecosystem and the wildlife and everything. It's just let them have the plants when you have the plants there.
Well, this is like the discussion because fertilizing and when you should fertilize, because it's not in the spring now. The thought is it's not a good idea if you're going to use fertilizer, do that in the fall.
Right, that's an interesting point. I honestly never teach people to fertilize. My big thing is if you are adding enough organic matter to your garden beds,
you don't need
to compost. Yeah, that's really going to take care of a lot of nutritional deficiencies. So you won't need to fertilize. And some of the dangers with fertilizing is fertilizing too much. And not only can that affect your plants and like maybe burn them up or give them a deficiency in a different chemical that they need, but also like a big issue, like especially people fertilizing with nitrogen, is that the nitrogen runoff is affecting our waterways. You know, that's where we get the algae blooms and everything that happens. So, you know, I say if you do fertilize, do it very sparingly. But at the end of the day, I really, really recommend just adding compost, adding organic matter, and lots of mulch to keep those nutrients in the soil.
So, Christy, you're doing... Your family does no mow May, or you're doing March or April?
I was like, we should get a riding lawnmower. My husband was like, no, we don't need one. I was like, then I am never mowing. So
so you're doing it.
So it's right. It's more like if it rains over the weekend, then he can't mow. You know, because that's mainly when he mows.
Okay.
So. Yeah, it's more laziness on my part.
All right. Well,
and I justify it by saying we're just helping the pollinators.
Helping the pollinators. I'll consider 2 weeks, but I don't know.
You can do it. You can do it.
I don't know. I'll keep you up.
You're going to take a day off work in the middle of the week so you can mow your lawn.
I can. I need to think about it. Downtown Green's our focus this morning. So where else are we going? As far as if we've talked about a number of the classes and things.
Yeah.
Where else do you want to?
I mean, speaking of bugs.
Yes.
We are actually going to have European honeybees brought into the lower garden again. We've had them in the past, and it's been amazing. If you've ever had the chance to get some Downtown Green's honey, it's delicious.
Oh, it is delicious.
Floral, very floral, light. It's really a lovely honey. So the Rappahannock Beekeepers Association are partnering with us to bring bee boxes to our lower garden, and then hopefully in the future also to the Bellman Road campus. And so we will have honeybees in the garden, which means more pollinators in the garden, but also it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for free educational seminars, classes, everything, because a lot of things they do is connecting the public to beekeeping and to bees and, you know, teaching the importance about this. So they are really excited to start teaching about bees, and we are really excited to have them teaching about bees, and, you know, we are just really excited about the honey. So we are very grateful to the Rappahannock Beekeepers Association for bringing those bees in.
In the past, you've had in the summer like a bee week where there's been all kinds of information, and I've always said there's Shark Week. There's Bee Week.
There's Bee Week. We've always loved doing Bee Week. Like you said, we do a lot of educational videos, but that actually started because that was the week that we got the honey. That was the week that they came and took the hives and, you know, did the whole process of getting the honey from the hives and filtering the honey and bottling it up, and which is an amazingly complicated process.
It is, because you did a video on that during it was during the pandemic. It was fascinating.
It really was. I mean, just the tool, and I'm not a beekeeper, so I don't know all the terminology for it, but just the tools they use to like see how much sugar is in the honey, to see how viscous the honey is, to see if it's ready to be harvested, and then just, you know, spinning those hives like crazy to get all the honey out and filtering the honey. You know, you never want to heat your honey up or do anything like that, because that ruins a lot of the nutritional value of it. But it's really an amazing process, and we are so grateful that they're willing to do that for us, because it's also a very sticky process.
It looks like it.
Honey gets everywhere.
For someone like me who doesn't like it, even if I get like Cheeto dust on my hands, I'm wanting to clean them off. The thought of honey all over your hands is just
maddening.
Again, it's like not mowing your lawn. It's hard for me to deal with.
No, I'm with you on that one. I don't like sticky hands, or you know, I don't mind dirt on my hands. I call it clean dirt. Oh, this is just clean dirt on my hands. But as soon as it gets sticky at all, even if it's honey, which is delicious, I can't stand it. So I'm really grateful that they have everything they need to do that, and it should be really exciting. They're really excited to have the bees in the garden, and we're really excited to have them.
All of these things that we talk about, all of these programs and all the information, the education that the Downtown Greens provides, you need the community to help you. And there are so many ways that people can get involved with the work of Downtown Greens.
That's correct. I mean, I always say that we work for the community, but we are run by the community. Like, we can't do this without the community. So we have folks that come in for our volunteer garden hours, which you don't need to sign up for. You just pop by any Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon, or any Thursday afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. And, you know, bring clothes you don't mind getting dirty. And if you want to sign up for our gardening list, you actually get an email once a week saying what we're going to be doing on these days, so you can decide if that's something you want to get involved in. We also have our free fridge and pantry, which you can always volunteer to help us out with that, keeping things tidy, you know, making sure everything in there is safe for people to consume.
I see so many people using that.
It's amazingly popular. I mean, I feel like the city could use so many more of them. Because it is so well utilized. But yeah, you can get involved just by volunteering. You can also donate, of course. We do love donations as well, which you can do on our website. But I mean, we have, I feel like I'm missing an opportunity. There's a million opportunities. We also have internships. We actually just hired an invasive plant intern. And their sole goal is to eradicate invasive plants that are coming up in the garden.
Huh.
Because invasive plants, you know, they just like the name says, they're very invasive. They can take over.
They can't. I was going to say they take over. Yeah.
And you're like, especially in our area where things grow so easily, it's something that you're not like, okay, I removed these invasive plants and now I'm done. It's really like you have to go back year after year and just keep, or month after month, and keep removing these invasive plants. It's a never-ending task. So that is something that we have internships for. We also have internships for, you know, helping out in the food gardens, helping out if you're not really an outdoor person. We definitely have opportunities where you can volunteer inside, kind of behind the scenes, and helping out in the office. So if you're ever interested in volunteering, please feel free to reach out. Because we would love to have you. We love when the community gets involved. We learn a lot.
DowntownGreens.org is the website where you can get information. And Christy, I would think with the board is such an active board. And before you know, just what you're, just especially now as you plan for what to do with all the new land, and just to know when to make. You know, when to make some moves on some things.
Right, yeah. So we actually just worked with the Community Foundation and came up with our next strategic plan, which is a word I cannot say, that will begin in 2025. So a big part of that is kind of looking at where do we go next and kind of growing, but growing thoughtfully and sustainably. So we're kind of looking over that plan. It's going to be approved by the board, you know, this month, as long as there's no changes needed. And then we're going to kind of start getting to work on that. It's really exciting. I mean, it's scary, but it's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Well, and that's what it's been. I mean, you think back just to the purchase of the land and all of this. You could all, you know, so many of these moves have been scary, but you've gone ahead, and the community has just, you know, just given such a stamp of approval.
Right. And growth is exciting and challenging and fun, but it's also scary. But
right.
I mean, you know, if we didn't grow, then we wouldn't thrive and the community wouldn't thrive. So really, we're doing it for the community.
Well, and you talk about, and you just think about, and Janet sort of touched on this too, the amount of acreage, or the percentage of the acreage that you've been able to save in the city is pretty significant. And for here on end, you've done things for future generations.
Right. And it's just so nice to be able to go into nature and not have to drive far to be in nature, and to forget all about like where you are and what's going on. And it's just, you know, it's such a great place to be, and to be able to be outside.
And this is a good time just to mention, there are, if you'd really, you know, get behind and want to support the work of Downtown Greens, become a regular donor.
Yes, absolutely.
So there are just so many things that just, I just think of what we have talked about just in this hour, just the kind of information that's out there that you're going to be able to take at home and leave some leaves on your yard, and, or don't cut your grass. And
Downtown Greens told me to be lazy for the pollinators.
Yes, I'm doing this for the pollinators.
Yeah, we are really excited. And Christy mentioned the strategic plan. And, that it's going to be approved by the board this week. I think it's safe to say, though, that one of the first things we are focusing on is putting in trails and signage on the Billman Road campus. So that way it, too, can be open 365 days a week, sunrise to sunset. So people don't have to wait for us to show them the land. They can just go and explore it themselves. Yeah. And so we're really excited to get started on that, for sure.
Quick break. We'll wrap this up with Downtown Greens. Good stuff this morning. DowntownGreens.org. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff with Downtown Greens this morning. Christy Herneman and Janet Dubberly here this morning from Downtown Greens. DowntownGreens.org. Before we get out of here this morning, again, congratulations on the Conservation Award from the Land Trust of Virginia?
Yes, the Land Trust of Virginia.
When I saw the banner yesterday on your building, I thought, oh, we'll have to talk about that tomorrow. And I really thought, well, that's because of all the great work on the Billman Road site. But no, it's the site where the upper and in the lower garden. And take advantage of the lower garden. Go do some exploring and just walk around.
Get married.
Get married. If you're looking to get married in a quick spot, it's right there.
Quick and easy. I mean, we can't provide the the Elvis or anything to marry you.
No, but still, you can. It's a great spot in Fredericksburg.
It really is, and it's gorgeous. And it's interesting because it was started in the 90s. So, you'd think after 27 plus years, more people would know about it. But it's the best kept secret. And because it was started in the 90s by somebody who was just planting things they thinned out of their client's yard. It was, it has an amazing variety of plants, like, banana trees, just like all kinds of different things that you normally don't see together. So it's really an interesting experience, and you can see all kinds of insects and plants and fun stuff.
And get involved financially. I mean, I know Christy is the board president, and there's so many things upcoming. And this is a great time to get involved with Downtown Greens just because you're going to be involved in a whole lot of things.
Right, yeah. So we're doing just a lot of partnering and with that new 56 acres and developing that. So that's really kind of our big focus is doing more education programs and doing more with that land out in Billman Road, but doing it in that sustainable, way. So we set ourselves up for even better things in the future.
And so many, there are all kinds of there are all kinds of classes, things you can take this summer. Just check out the Facebook page because there'll be information on signing up, and whether it's walking or mushrooms or all kinds of things.
We will just talk about anything naturally, as you know.
And consider a no mow May maybe next year.
Right. Yeah. Or we still have a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could still not mow this May.
No mow May before May is no mow.
Oh, I like that. I don't know that I can top that. The problem is you'll start texting me and saying, "So have you mowed?" Because I'm at the point where I could mow, I wouldn't have to. I could let it go a week.
Yeah, just let it go. Just sit outside, enjoy the weather.
I'm doing it for the pollinators.
You do us.
Right.
Christy Herneman and Janet Dubberly, thank you so much. Can't wait for you guys to come back again. And again, check out the work and get involved with Downtown Greens, downtowngreens.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.